This is Winning with ADHD, a podcast for parents to empower students. Build up your ADHD teens so that they recognize their own talents, creativity, and uniqueness. Get tips and tricks to help overcome executive functioning challenges. Listen to stories and experiences of what worked and what did not. Together, let's find ways to build your child's self-esteem and start winning with ADHD. And now, here's your host, Heather Walker.
Welcome to the Winning with ADHD podcast. This is Heather Walker. I'm your host, and this is our November episode where we're going to talk a little bit about gratitude. And so this one can be a little bit hard to hear sometimes, depending on where you are in the like the roller coaster of life and dealing with all of the different pieces that come with parenting, being employed, kids, all of the different things that come along with it. But the month of November is always a great time to step back and recognize some of the blessings that we have and keep our minds focused on the positive. We have spoke in various episodes previously about having this positive mindset, this forward-looking mindset, one that's looking for the wins and stacking them. And November is a great month to kind of maybe reset that or maybe give it a try if it's something that you haven't done yet. The worksheet that we're going to have for this month's podcast is going to be a gratitude in action worksheet, and it's going to help you have maybe a shift in focus or a shift in mindset and ask you some questions to help you maybe process some of the things that you've been thinking about. Or sometimes when I'm asked questions, it allows me the opportunity to think about it in a different way. And then I realize something that I didn't understand before. For example, the other day I was talking to a friend about a work situation, and I had gotten really upset about something that we were working on, and I wasn't really sure why I was so upset. And so those emotions can be really hard for me because if I don't understand why I'm getting upset, I feel a little out of place. I also don't know how to offer a solution or a way to process the feelings that I have. And so as we were talking and some of the questions that she was asking me, I realized why I was upset. And it was kind of one of those like deeper underlying pieces that aren't quite obvious. And I believe that parenting kids in general, and especially those with ADHD and other diagnoses that come along with that, is especially true. So one of the first questions or the first section of the worksheet for this month is really understanding what are your unique struggles with parenting and ADHD. And so like asking, what is the hardest part, or what do you wish that people understood about your situation? This question in and of itself is one that I really, really like, because when you can recognize like the feelings that you have around it, maybe you think that it's not fair or that they have it easier than you, or I wish they just knew how hard I had to work just to get out the door. And that's why my daughter's hair isn't brushed, right? Like I remember there was one morning when I dropped off Emily to third grade, and she had a massive rat's nest in the back of her head. And as she was walking into the school, I just sat there and I was like, I can't believe she just walked in with her hair looking like that. But if anybody had the ability to see what we had gone through that morning just to get to the school, I would hope that they would have a little bit more empathy or compassion for our situation. And so maybe the overarching answer might be, I wish they had a little more empathy or compassion and understanding of all of the steps and things that we have to go through to do what seems so easy and basic for, you know, the average family or situation. And then another question that goes along with that is, what has surprised you about parenting a child with ADHD? So this is also one of my most favorite questions, because when I ask myself this question, it reminds me of all of the really amazing things that I've been able to experience as a mom and as a parent. And so raising a child who has mental illness or ADHD or any type of disability that might come along, or even if we just branch this out further to my children who are just their unique selves, what has really allowed me to do as a parent is to learn how to solve problems in unique ways. And I love it when we are able to find a way that works for both of us. And a lot of times it takes a ton of work to get there, and it takes trying lots and lots of different things. And so if you're able to step back and recognize those small wins or those opportunities where you were like, I was a good mom today. I did something well. And that's something that was a situation that happened for me just recently. We've had a really hard 2024 as a family. I personally have had a really hard year with work situations, with Emily being a young adult and looking for her own independence and trying to find, different ways and solutions to help her, but her also kind of being rebellious in a lot of ways. And so it's been a lot of roller coaster days and months and weeks throughout the year of 2024. And a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to meet up with her when she was having a hard day, as I would normally call. It was a day that Emily was having a meltdown. And what was really cool in that moment is that she usually shuts down, and we kind of have to go through like these different stages in order to like get her back on track and on her way back to, our normal status quo. And what was really cool about this day is that I don't know if it was, it probably wasn't all me, but I felt really good about how I started out reaching out to her and how I responded to her, that we were able to skip some of those harder phases of trying to get her back on track. And that was a really great feeling to be able to say, I have learned some really great tools and skills to be able to be the support system that she needs and to help her get back on track. Now, I say that happened at that moment, but there have been times since then where I wasn't in the right headspace, or I said something wrong, or maybe the way that I didn't want to, or she wasn't in the right space and it didn't go well. And so what's really important here is making sure that we keep track of those moments so that we can be reminded of them, so that when we're in hard times, we can take that and say, because today's a bad day or a hard day, or because it's not going well right now, doesn't mean that it can't go well in the future or that it hasn't gone well in the past. And when we are in phases where it seems like more hard or more bad or more friction than there are good and relationship building opportunities and all of those things, then it gives us a way to kind of anchor ourselves so that we can continue to show up or restart and come back. So one of the things that I'm most surprised about from parenting a child with ADHD is that learning curve that I've gone through and what I've learned over the last almost 20 years of figuring out how to navigate these really difficult situations that, quite honestly, I never thought I would ever have to deal with. I didn't, you don't become a parent thinking that you're going to have to bring on these challenges. You kind of have like these rose-colored glasses on when you bring home a new baby. So, kind of moving on to the next piece is then shifting that focus and focusing on the strengths rather than the deficits. And that is both for you and for your child. How have you been able to cope with and adjust and improve with these situations? Where are you strongest? Maybe where is your partner? Hopefully, you have a partner in some way, whether that be a friend, a spouse, a significant other, a parent, your parent, somebody in your life that can be a good partner for you to help with these situations, because there are times where you kind of need to just like tap out for a minute. And so there's a lot of ways that you can do this. You can say, it looks like we need to talk about this later, or maybe we need to not do this today, or maybe we go and we just shift the focus altogether. I was working with some 2-year-olds a couple of weeks ago, and we had one that was upset and crying. And my husband was trying to talk to him and help him to calm down and be happier with his situation. And what I chose to do was take the Legos and say, we're going to put away the Legos. Help me put away the Legos, and we are going to have a snack. And so by just changing our environment as a whole, or what we're doing, was a great way to distract that little boy from what he was feeling at that moment and what was happening. And so it wasn't focusing on the fact that he was crying and upset and how can we make him feel better, but rather, hey, why don't you help me put the Legos in the bin? And so that was a great way to just kind of change the topic in a sense, and to be able to help him navigate that situation. And he was great for the rest of the time that we had him. And so those are some of the skills and things that we can use. And sometimes we're going to show up great at them, and sometimes it's going to be really hard for us, or it's just maybe it works one time and maybe it doesn't work the next time, and we've got to figure something else out. So one of the other things that I'm grateful for is having to, or being put in these situations that have, in a sense, forced me to evolve. And because of these situations, I believe I was able to show up for that little boy in a way that just kind of naturally happened, rather than kind of stressing out about it. I remember when Emily was younger and she would be having a tantrum, and my brain would kind of freak out and have a moment where I just didn't know what to do. And so I kind of froze and wasn't sure, felt hopeless in that moment or in that instance. And just being able to have these experiences has helped me to show up in a way that I'm able to continue to think in a logical way to kind of move through it. Now, I will reiterate, not every time does that happen, right? Like, we all have so many different things that are feeding into us every day. We have, conversations with people. Maybe somebody said something that hurt our feelings, or maybe we are feeling stressed out about the holidays coming up and what we need to do. And so sometimes we're kind of a little bit more on edge than others. And the way that we're able to show up when we are confronted with a situation or a comment or something that was unexpected, we snap back, or we respond in a way that we prefer not to. And so offering yourself some grace in those situations when you're not able to show up that way is something else that I've had to learn to be grateful for, because I'm pretty hard on myself as an individual. And I know a lot of us, especially moms, are extra hard on ourselves on how we show up. So along with that is reframing our expectations and letting go of perfection. This one can be hard. I think a lot of us have pictures in our mind as to what our life's going to look like, what our house is going to look like, what our kids are going to show up as, and how they're going to react. And a lot of times, people will say things like, where's this kid's parents? And didn't they teach them any better? Well, I have news for you. If you have younger kids, you can teach them all of the values you want to. You can teach them manners. You can teach them everything that the world says that they need to do and how they should show up. But I'm going to remind you that they are their own person with their own choices and their own decision-making processes and their own strengths and weaknesses. So, I'll go back a long time ago. We had just moved across the country, and I was at the post office with a 15-month-old Emily. And
We had gone to the store and we had gone to the post office and we were in a long line. And I don't even remember what caused it. I don't know if she just didn't want to stand in the line or what, but she flopped herself on the floor and kicked and screamed. And I had a person make a comment to me about, teaching her to be better. First of all, we all know that 2-year-olds or, 1 to 2-year-olds, it doesn't matter what you teach them. They don't know how to express their thoughts and feelings yet. And the way that they do that is through behavior. Guess what? Teenagers and adults do the same thing. It just looks a little bit differently. I talked earlier about maybe snapping at somebody when you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Well, that's the equivalent of a 2-year-old throwing a temper tantrum when they don't know how to handle everything that's coming at them and able to express what they need. So a teenager who isn't acting the way that we taught them to, first of all, they're trying to figure out so many different things, and it's a hard place to be. And if you have a child with ADHD, especially, they often are in trouble more. And so you might find yourself in a place where they're sneaking or lying to you more, and that's really, really hard. So finding some ways for us to let go of that perception of perfection from the world, but also letting yourself know where you're doing well and where you're putting an emphasis of importance. There have been so many things that I have compromised on that I didn't want to, over and over and over again, because I wanted something very different. And in order for us to work together, we had to come up with a different scenario or situation as to how that's going to play out. I'll use an example that is less feelings based. When my kids were younger, I worked part-time, and as my role grew at work and started to work more hours, my responsibilities at home became more of a challenge. And so my husband stepped up and we divided up home responsibilities differently since we were both working outside of the home more hours. And one of the compromises that we made was that I would do laundry and that he would do dishes and take care of the kitchen. He hates doing laundry. I hate doing dishes. I don't mind doing laundry. He doesn't mind doing dishes. So it was a great way for us to share some of the responsibility. However, I still had my own like expectations, whether they were spoken or expressed, as to what it should look like. And so I thought that the dishwasher needed to be loaded in a certain way, or that the counters needed to be wiped off in a different way, or my definition of what a clean kitchen looked like was different than his definition. And so there were some fights and some arguments around it and some little comments of bickering. And I eventually had to choose to let go. I had to say, is the kitchen clean? Are the dishes clean? Do we have, dishes that we can use when we're ready to cook? Are they getting clean in the dishwasher, even though it's not loaded the way that I want it to be loaded? And the answer was yes, but it wasn't quite what I wanted. And so some of the things that I've learned in this situation and others is sometimes I don't handle it well and I kind of say comments or I get upset, but also saying, this one part is really important to me. Is this something that you could do when you clean the kitchen? Or the other option is guess what? He's cleaning the kitchen and doing all of these pieces. And if this part means so much to me, then maybe I can come in and I can do that one part after he's done. And so there's a lot of different ways that we can solve for what we would like to have happen, but also deciding, is it absolutely necessary? The way that we load the dishwasher might be different, but the goal is that they get clean. And so, are they getting clean? And we can apply this analogy to our situations with our kids of I'm wanting this certain thing, and then really evaluating what is the most important part. And what you will what I hope you will find and what I have found when I've had to go through this exercise multiple times as we hit each different stage of life, is that I usually am happier when I realize what is the most important piece to me and I know why it's the most important piece to me, rather than just trying to dictate what is fits my picture. And so I hope that each of you who are really hard on yourselves, especially, kind of take that question and look at it and say, what could I let go of that might make it a better situation for me to where I can be grateful and happy with the situations that are surrounding me with ADHD. The last part is making sure that we're grateful for our support system and for those that help us. And so expressing that I'm grateful to my family, I'm grateful to my friends, I'm grateful to my coworkers. They hear a lot about my family and they support me. Having that support system is great. And I'm grateful for this podcast and those of you that show up and listen to it. The podcast is a little bit therapeutic for me, but also I'm hopeful that the experiences that I've had and the lessons that I have had to fight through and learn are helpful to you as you navigate your family. And then the last part that we could all maybe take action on is a gratitude journal. I am horrible at journals. They're incredibly hard for me, but every time I've ever written something down and we're able to come across it at a later date, I'm so grateful that we wrote those things down. And our family did a positive gratitude journal for a really long time when our kids were a little bit younger. And I actually came across it the other day. And it was such a great experience to go back and read some of the things that they said and that we had shared and how we were having a good day. And some of the days were, just kind of, I'm glad that I'm home and I can go to bed because I'm tired. And some days, we had some really fun events. And so it really does kind of help us kind of go back and remind ourselves of when we've had a good day and when we've had a great day and when we've had maybe a harder day and finding that small piece of gratitude in those situations. What's really scientifically proven around gratitude is that there are a lot of psychological and physical benefits of gratitude. It is published that there is improved mental health, that those who express gratitude have reduced stress and anxiety, that they have better sleep, that they are able to cultivate stronger relationships, that they're able to have increased resilience as they go through difficult times, that it can boost their self-esteem and their motivation, and then improved physical health as a whole. Because guess what? When we feel better, we're more active. And so these activities of finding gratitude, maybe daily or weekly, more often than maybe most of us are doing, that we will also have decreased feelings of burnout, that we will have more of a growth mindset to find new ways to address our challenges, and then in general, have a better emotional regulation of our feelings. And so when we're able to have more positive thinking patterns, we're able to be able to work through situations more logically and be able to respond to some of those higher stress situations in a way that we represent our best self better. I hope you guys all have a great November. For those of you that celebrate Thanksgiving, I hope you have a great time with your families and that you can find some gratitude in your situations in raising those with ADHD. Talk to you guys next month.
Winning with ADHD is brought to you by Disrupt ADHD. Head on to disruptadhd.com/learn more.